backhand solo, I got a power blaster. I play Tony Hawk, I get points like a million. I can dodge bullets like Remo Williams. That's my only rap. You guys have heard that before.
Did Remo dodge bullets or catch them?
He dodged them.
Dodged them?
Yeah, he can't catch a bullet.
Listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. This week, John does a little platforming. Kev's is a woeful tale of denied downloads. And Steve gets a little bit of time with the Xbox One. Hello, you are listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming,
gadget,
and gear related
on DVDverdict.com.
Metal Gear.
I got to say gadget this time.
I know. I was waiting for you to say it.
Were you?
You seemed so downtrodden last week when you had to say gear again.
What's the difference between a gadget and a gear? It's pretty much the exact same thing, isn't it?
They don't call the game Metal Gadget.
A gadget is an abstract form, whereas a gear is, you know, a piece of machinery. Gadget could be anything, man.
Ask Academy Award nominee Richard Gadget. Lift us up.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
There you go.
That was our best intro to date.
I don't think so.
No.
We didn't insult any minorities or drop any coarse language.
Let's not do that today.
we're aiming for I'm non-minority insulting, although I've got some really nasty things to say later on. So,
now, Steve. Tell you what.
It's okay. Disney dropped us, but Universal Studios has given us the go-ahead for 50 million PG-13.
Tell you what. You give me the files. I'll do the post on this episode.
So we're back. The official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com.
We're back.
We haven't been gone very long. We've only been gone a week.
Yeah, it's just a week, man.
But what a week it's been.
Has it?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Kev, it's the first week of APS4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, it's already out.
It's the beginning of the new generation, Mr. Woolrich.
It's the now generation.
Yeah. We also had another massive console launch this past weekend.
What was that?
The iPad 4?
No. The Xbox One. You guys are making us look biased now. Come on.
The X-Bone.
See? Yeah, the X-Bone.
To tell you the truth, I'm not getting one right now because it's too expensive, but I am mildly optimistic.
I was mildly optimistic, and I was more than mildly optimistic. I was genuinely like, I want one of these machines.
Don't do this. They just unveiled Fulgore. Don't kill
it. Did they unveil Fulgore?
Yeah, they had the launch trailer when they showed off Spinal. The last shot of it was the silhouette of Fulgore.
Well, that's pretty cool and all, considering they launched the game with six fucking characters, which is lame.
Did you remember a couple...
Ding.
You remember... A couple years ago when KOF 12 came out, and you and I were the only two people who liked it.
Yep.
And everyone was savaging it in reviews because of the lack of... I think it was actually just a lack of modes. I'm pretty sure the roster in that game was pretty packed.
It was huge, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
not as big as previous KOF games, but it was still pretty...
It was pretty huge. And like, 13 was supposed to be kind of the finished version of 12, and 13 kind of sucked.
My only problem with 13 is they took out that cool... that really awesome guard system they had in 12.
Yeah.
That where you kind of, did an offensive guard, pushed away, and it kind of loops through you right into a combination.
I will say this much about Killer Instinct. Man, it is silky smooth. Yeah. It plays really, really well, but I could only use one character because, hey, that's all they give you. Unless you want to pay for them.
Who do you get?
Wow.
Yago. Jago. And then you can go in and pay for the other
5
That's lame.
Individually, or you can pay for like the season pass.
And how much is the game itself?
Free. With one character.
Oh, well, the game is free, dude. What are you complaining about?
With one character.
Yeah.
It's just, they're making it needlessly complex.
Yeah. Right.
Here's an idea. It's a launch game for your new system. It's the rebirth of a franchise that people have been crying out for since you bought Rare back in, what, the original Xbox?
Yeah, back in, like, 1999.
Yeah, people have been asking for a new Killer Instinct since KI Gold came out in N64.
Yeah.
And this is what you do with it. You know,
right.
This game
should have came out on disc with 8 to 12 playable characters, an arcade mode, maybe even a story mode. I don't really care about story mode, but it should have had an arcade mode final boss.
Look what Ed Boon and the boys at NetherRealm did with their Mortal Kombat relaunch.
Unbelievable.
And that's exactly what Double Helix and Microsoft should have done.
If you were to buy all the characters, how much would it cost?
I think it roughly equates to like the cost of a game.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's like $39 for what they call the Season 1 Pass.
Right.
Which is like the 6 characters.
Again, but $39.99 for a fighting game with 6 characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty lame. It's pretty weak. And what's worse is the game plays really well.
How much is Ultra Street Fighter 4 going to be?
$39.99.
With how many characters?
8 million.
Well, yeah. I guess for those people who are picking up the X-Bone...
Can you stop calling it that?
No, I can't.
For those who are picking it up who aren't really into fighting games, they get to try one out for free.
Which is nice. But you don't get to deserve a disc.
I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate, man.
And you don't even get the experience of a fighting game, because it's not like, you know, you pick it up and it's like, what if you don't like that character?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And the characters, from what I've seen, I've been watching videos online since July, and from what I've seen of each of the characters, like, they are pretty varied.
Right.
You know, it each of them does handle pretty differently, and they're all balanced pretty well.
The only video I really watched was Thunder, but that looked badass.
And the gameplay is great. It looks nice, you know. Like, I will say, it doesn't look as pristine as some of the other next-gen titles out there, but it does look good. You know, cool. It does look nice. It does look like a game that was maybe probably possible on Xbox 360, given the proper time. But I don't think those backgrounds could have been pulled off. It wouldn't have been the same level of effects. But it is a nice-looking game. It plays really, really smoothly. It's just, I think it's a sin what they've done to it. I think they've basically, you know, a game that should have had a full retail release on disc, you know, 12 or 14 or whatever characters, and it kind of got...
Pack-in soundtrack.
There we go. Killer cuts included in box, you know. But it kind of got shat out by Microsoft, you know?
Do you think it'll come? Do you think there will be a retail release at some point?
I think this time next year, when they've got a few more characters done, they've got like 4 extra characters added to it or whatever, and they do their Season 2 content, I think next fall you'll see like KI Platinum or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully with a shiny cover, like just that big KI logo. Shiny.
Yeah. My experiences with the Xbox One.
Your content experience?
My experience with content, yeah. I gotta say, it didn't go well.
No.
And I mean, it wasn't in the ideal environment. It wasn't in Blast Chamber 1. We weren't sitting down in a couch with comfy couch with controllers and stuff. It wasn't a more, you know, abrasive environment. But I did get to play around a fair bit with it. I did get to go through the dashboard and dig into the settings menus and that sort of thing. And I did get to play 3 or 4 games, like tried out three games actually.
Yeah.
And underwhelmed.
Oh yeah.
I gotta say, especially after the last week that I've had, I was a little sad.
I heard the dashboard's pretty messy too.
The dashboard sucks.
Yeah.
It is absolute rubbish.
They'll change that.
It is garbage. It is a disorganized mess of a dashboard. There's no rhyme or reason to the organization of it. Now, it is customizable. You can move pins around and stuff like
this. Right, right.
And you can tweak it to your liking. But after even, like, the last generation Xbox 360 dashboard, which I was not a big fan of because of how slow it was, this is just, like, wow. This is horrible. It's not even the word I'd use to describe it. I would describe it as an absolute software design abortion.
Ugh.
It is, you know, it's hideous. It is garish. It is ugly. It is unintuitive.
Ostentatious.
It is cumbersome. It is just, it's a freaking dog. And on top of all of that, it doesn't even run smoothly.
Right.
It's pretty choppy. Like,
does it look like I'm one of the few people who actually like the Metro UI. Is it trying to ape that?
Oh, it is the Metro UI.
Oh, it is?
It is. It is entirely the Metro
now,
UI.
Now, for a game and console, that's not going to work.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely stupid. Ding! But it's, you know...
I think... Are you trying to do it with a controller?
Yeah.
Well, the Xbox One wants you to talk to it.
And that's terrible, too. That's absolutely terrible.
Hey, Xbox.
Xbone, make me a sandwich.
It prints out a Subway coupon.
Just
to steal our producer's gag.
Prints out a Subway coupon and throws some Subway ads in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. But
the crew starts singing the Subway song.
The other two games I tried were Rise, Son of Rome.
Yep.
I have to tell everybody out there in Blast Processing Land, all the blasphemers who are out there listening, if you get the opportunity at your earliest convenience, go to Eurogamer.net and read their review of Rise, Son of Rome. It is both the most terrible and awesome-sounding game I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
You're pronouncing it wrong, by the way.
Rise, whatever.
Sounds like Riz.
and we rizzed all over it.
The combat's absolutely terrible.
Is it really?
And in a game that basically hinges entirely on combat.
Okay, because you were holding on to that hope that this is going to be the new Heavenly Sword.
Yes, I was genuinely psyched for it. I think it looks fantastic, but I have two very serious problems with it. The combat is really, really stilted. Like, every time you execute a combo, it's like the game waits for you. Like, it pauses mid-action and waits for you to hit the next input. So, like, you hit X to attack, and the game almost kind of sits there for a second waiting for you to hit X again. It's like, hey, you going to keep that combo flowing or what there, buddy? You know, like, there's so much disconnect to the action, there's no feedback. And when you hit something, there's no feeling of impact. It's like the old Prince of Persia Sands of Time, how we always had that issue with that. It just felt like your sword was passing through air, you know? There's no real feedback there. The shield bash is pretty cool. But again, it's so broken and it's so staggered.
We've had a cool shield bash in the game for you. Remember Viking?
Yeah.
That had an awesome shield
bash. And Dragon Age had a fantastic shield bash. But it feels so stilted. And the other big issue I have with it is there's no, like, this kind of stems back to the feedback. There's no real feeling of, like, there's no visceral feel when you perform one of these brutal executions on a bad guy. There's no hint or sense that you're actually doing any damage to them.
And in a world post-God of War, unforgivable.
Yeah, like, there's no exit wound, there's no, like, you just, basically, your weapons clip through the enemy targets, you see a little blood spurt, and they fall to the ground. And it feels so canned. It looks beautiful.
It looks gorgeous.
It looks absolutely stunning. But at times, it looks really garish. Like, at times, like, the white, the yellows and the reds kind of bloom right out, and they overpower everything else. And that leads me to the last game that I played. The one that I had my heart set on, the one that really wanted me to get, you know, the Xbox One, the game that was going to have an Xbox One under my Christmas tree.
Right.
That's Forza Motorsport 5.
Okay.
It doesn't look that great.
Aww.
It really doesn't. I mean, it's not bad. It's not ugly by any stretch. But I don't know if it's because Need for Speed Rivals throws so much, like, particle effects and stuff. And, I mean, it's not fair to compare it to, because Rivals is an arcade racer and it's just so over the top. But Forza looks kind of bland. And even at times, like, I played on this on the Matterhorn level, like, it's a Swiss Alps kind of racing level. And at one point during the track, you kind of race past a river, like, or like a pond. And the water surface didn't even look as nice as what it did on Xbox 360 and Forza 4. Like, it almost looked like a downgrade, but you look at the cars and the roads, the textures are a lot nicer and higher quality and stuff. But there was just something about it that was kind of, you know, I was just kind of nonplussed. I don't know what it was. It was maybe if I sat down at home and played it on our screen and, you know, went all out with it might be different. But I guess part of it might have been the environment and stuff. But all the trailers that you see for the game where you see the little flecks of metal in the paint on the cars and it looks so hyper-realistic, I saw none of that when I was racing.
Hmm.
None of it. And, I mean, like, it's easy to say, you know, hey, guess what? You know, you're playing a racing game in 1080p at 60 frames per second. You probably shouldn't notice that stuff anyway. But it just didn't look that great.
If you're going to show it off in your trailers and your commercials. So.
Yeah, it didn't, physically, it didn't wow me. It was just, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm playing Forza. And it really doesn't feel any different than Forza 4.
It still plays like Forza, though?
Oh, it's amazing. It plays fantastic. But, I mean, when you look at the graphics, haven't really gotten that super bump that you'd expect.
And I've heard it's a pretty big downgrade in the number of cars and tracks.
There's less than 200 cars and less than 20 tracks.
Forza 4, by the way, everybody had 400 cars.
600.
600 cars and 50-something tracks.
I think it was like 60 or 62. Yeah, there was a lot. There was a lot. And, I mean, I don't expect the numbers to be the same in a next-gen game. I just don't expect it.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, like, one of the things I was kind of holding on to and shouting out in defense was all of the cars were in Auto Vista mode. So all 200 of those cars, you could walk around them and explore them the same way you could in Forza 4. However, most of them, you can't open the hoods and stuff. Like, you can walk around them, and they look great, but there's no interactivity. Whereas in Forza 4, all the stuff in Auto Vista, you could open hoods, trunks, car doors, get in, sit down, turn on the key. You know, like, it was very, very hyper-detailed.
Did you get to see any of the Top Gear content?
I didn't really. No. I heard Clarkson's voiceover, and I heard Hammond do some voiceover about the career mode, and that was it. That was it. Was very, very, very limited.
Okay.
I know it's in there. I know there's a lot in there, but
I was hoping there'd be a career mode where you start as a young Stig, and
you actually can race the Stig.
Yeah.
You
can lose to the Stig.
Well, according to Clarkson, this one can be beaten.
Okay.
But you know, it's ghost races is what it is. You're racing a ghost kind of thing, you know, like you're racing a ghost time.
What are the Drivatars?
Drivatars have been around for a while.
Yeah.
It's basically you can train an AI racer.
Okay.
And rather than actually physically do the races, you can kind of watch the races and train your driver to react a certain way to it.
Do they drive evolve after certain?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know. But, I mean, I can't even say it's terrible because it's not terrible. It's just not. You know, remember that impression we got when we turned on... you guys weren't here, though. Never mind. Brian and Larry were here, I think.
Yeah.
When we fired up the PS4 for the first time, and while we were waiting for the system to do the update, Brian fired up the PS3 version of Ghosts and started playing through from the beginning kind of thing, right? And then we fired up the PS4, and it was like, oh, my God. Like, when we saw how much of a difference there was, how much of a dramatic jump.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that. Like, yeah. I didn't get that same... whoa, you know, and like I really was hoping that Forza was gonna be like, yeah, now see, this is what I was waiting for, you know. And even Rise, I mean, I held out hope that Rise would be a fun, you know, affable game. And the Eurogamer review, when they talk about, you know, meeting the Queen of the Celts and she's driving or riding a giant war elephant, like that to me sounded so ridiculously stupid and yet awesome at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the two villains being voiced basically.
I was gonna say, if you complained about that and you stood by my side and told everyone that 10,000 BC was amazing because Woolly Mammoth built the pyramids,
yes.
I was gonna reach across this table and slap the taste.
No, and I mean, like the two villains being, you know, basically the voice actors totally ripping off Joker and Bane from the Christopher Nolan Batman movies and stuff. Like, I was all aboard for that. I was totally all aboard. And then on top of that, according to Eurogamer, they hire all like British TV actors and stuff, so they play it totally straight-faced.
Right.
Like totally...
something's happening in the studio. That's all right. We can improvise around that.
Danny Glover's talking real soft to Martin Riggs.
Somebody passing my coat. I can make sure that doesn't happen again.
No, it's okay. But yeah, you know, those three games... I saw someone playing a little bit of Dead Rising 3.
Oh, yeah.
God damn, that is shit ugly.
I'm not surprised.
That is a shit ugly game, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does not look good at all. It looks like an Xbox 360 game.
Okay.
You know, or a PS3 game. It's easy enough to say, you know.
I'm sad we've gotten to that point.
I'm happy we've gotten to that point. That is awesome. The next generation is now. PS3, that's retro, baby. Retro.
So that means I can collect PS3 and Xbox 360 games and be cool now?
Well...
no, but you gotta turn them around and jack that price.
No, I'm not into that. I don't flip. I don't do flips for nobody.
No flipping.
No flipping.
Dude, you play as Vega all the time. He's mad for us.
But yeah, that's my initial thoughts on Xbox One. In conclusion, in summary, in summation, rushed.
Yeah.
Definitely rushed. Very glitchy. Not rock solid at all, which is the polar opposite of the PS4. I mean, you know, we've been saying since we started playing it how polished and smooth the machine feels.
Yeah.
And I don't get any of that impression whatsoever. I think Microsoft were hurt a lot more than anybody realizes after E3. I think when they went into spin mode and started, you know, changing features and switching out this, that, and the other thing, I think they were in total panic mode. And I think they basically had to go in and rewrite.
Yeah.
I think they had to flip the table. And I think, like, the features and stuff just aren't there yet. They're not patched in yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, I hate to say it, I've always been a Sony guy. I've always liked Sony systems, but I've always stood by the fact that I like Sony systems because that's the systems I got the experience that I wanted from. Has nothing to do with the company, has nothing to do with Sony as a brand, it has nothing to do with Microsoft as a brand. I loved my 360 until...
well, no, how many 360 games am I looking at right now on the shelf?
Over 100.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to sound like some system agnostic, you know, or whatever. At the same time, I don't want to be preaching unity and all of that stuff either, because that's no fun either.
Unity.
You know? But I have to say, I feel bad for Xbox One adopters. I think they've got a long road ahead of them.
Yeah.
I really do.
I agree.
And the last thing that really pisses me off about it, and this is the part where I say ugly things, reviewers need to pull their fucking heads out of their assholes and realize that they're working for fucking gaming sites, not entertainment sites. When I see Joystick, who is entirely a gaming site, reviewing the Xbox One and going on and on about the features that Microsoft wants to have in your living room and your entertainment use, and da-da-da-da-da, guys, we don't give a fuck. We only care about it as a gaming machine.
Yeah.
You're a gaming site, not an entertainment site. This machine is clearly not built primarily to be a gaming machine. Just fucking call it out and don't be so goddamn apologetic about it. It pisses me off.
Clearly it does.
To no end. This really pisses me off to no end.
Who are these? Friends of yours?
Who are these consoles?
But, I mean, I saw three. Eurogamer did it.
Yeah.
Joystick did it. And Eurogamer, I usually held to a higher standard. So it really disappointed me to see Eurogamer doing
it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, your whole love of the Xbox is going to be dependent on whether you buy into Microsoft's next-gen version of the living room.
You just wait 2 weeks until you hear those sweet Welsh vocals kick in.
But I think, like, it's what really rots me about it all is I know how this is going to go down. And, I mean, you guys can vouch for me. I've been around a while. I know what goes on with these stupid video game things. I've called it so many times. And what really ticks me off is in 6 months or 8 months' time, when these guys are talking about these systems on podcasts and whatever else, they're going to be dropping offhanded comments like, oh, we all know what kind of a disaster the Xbox One launch was. You know, oh, the Xbox One was so terrible at launch. You know, but yet in their reviews,
yeah,
they're kissing its ass and sucking its dick, and it just pisses me off.
I really wanted to ding on that, but it wasn't
just a second,
really.
Just a second. Are you doing a money thing, or are you massaging its balls?
Yeah. Well, we're not going to buy one.
It's kind of.
Well,
like,
I'm not going to buy one.
It's exactly. It's the same vicious cycle that happened with the poor Wii U.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, when the Wii U launched, all the websites and stuff reviewed it. And, oh, it shows lots of promise. And, oh, yeah, it could be a great system. And, oh, well, the features aren't quite there yet, but it'll be. I'm sure it'll be great. And a year later, they're all like, oh, the Wii U. You know? But I know it's going to go the same way with the Xbox One, and that just royally rots me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Why not just call it how you see it instead of sitting there and, you know, placating people?
I almost bought myself a Wii U game last week without owning a system. I figured we'd play it here.
I wouldn't mind that. I love my Wii U.
Yeah.
I do want
to. Then I hit it in my hand and I said, he's going to get that for Sarah for Christmas.
What, Mario 3D World?
Yeah,
yeah I will. Yeah. I will.
You love your Wii U. I don't know you, man.
I love that machine, man. I think it's a great system. I just think it's horribly, horribly starved for software.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
All right.
And they don't make you waggle.
It don't make you waggle. There's no waggling.
That's true. It's all that new gigantic controller.
Tablet, yeah. Second screen experience, see?
Wow.
And that's one thing Nintendo got right, because Sony and Microsoft are aping that. Microsoft's got their smart glass and Sony's got their Vita remote play stuff. So
Yeah.
You know.
But what they don't have is you ain't going to get ripped. You ain't going to get swole lifting a Vita. Now, Nintendo, the Wii U controller, the slate, 50 pounds of controller in your hands. Who needs P90X? Insanity, out the door. I'm Xer gaming.
Last final thought on the Xbox One. Graphically speaking, I don't know if it's because of the display that I was playing it on or because of the graphics card in the machine itself. The contrast seemed a little off. Like, the colors were very, very scorching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think we should really judge that until we get it up on the magic mirror.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I kind of agree there. But it was a little... It was definitely... Like, the yellows and reds and stuff were definitely overbaked.
Okay.
So, is it like everyone in Rise looked like the Flash?
Yeah, well, they all looked like they had sunburns, you know.
That so they all looked like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, they all looked like Hulk Hogan. But now,
see it in your eyes, like, Hulk Hogan.
Some of the stuff in it, like the vista of Rome, with, like the mist coming up between the buildings and stuff, looked stunning. Like, really nice,
yeah.
You know? About on par with Assassin's Creed 4 Black.
Did it make you want to go back and play Jason and the Argonauts? Or Rise of the Argonauts?
Rise of the Argonauts?
Rise
no,
the
not
Argonauts.
Quite.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of games that had overcooked colors.
Yeah.
I love that game, though.
I had a love-hate relationship with it.
I love it. Everyone complained how muscular Chris Redfield was in Resident Evil 5.
They obviously hadn't played Rise of the Argonauts.
Yeah, and Chris Redfield makes up one half of Hercules' arms.
Anyway, John, you got a review for us this week?
Actually, yeah, I do. And I was kind of sad when I went and reviewed it. Second, I've got to lift up my laptop because I didn't print this off this week.
Oh, totally unprepared.
Hey, at least I wrote something, motherfucker.
Hey, I wrote news.
I make stuff up, you see, instead of preparing.
I don't usually prepare either.
Yeah.
I collect my thoughts.
Here we go. Having been essentially marched out to die on the same day as the PlayStation 4 launch, and a mere 7 days before Friday's Xbox One launch, Insomniac's Ratchet & Clank Into the Nexus is probably going to be met with a wave of indifference. I myself picked it up as a consolation prize last week after I canceled my PS4 pre-order in favor of a set of winter tires for my new used car. And that was only after discovering that very day that it even existed in the first place. I hadn't heard anything about it.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, at the tail end of a generation that's been utterly dominated with grim war scenarios and multiplayer shooters, many of which you guys know I enjoyed.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, like, I love The Line. There's something incredibly welcoming about a charismatic and lighthearted platformer slash shooter steeped in Saturday morning cartoon aesthetic, priced at a very accessible $30.
Mm.
I hadn't spent any quantity of time with Ratchet & Clank in the past few years. I got maybe halfway through the debut of their PS3 future label, Tools of Destruction.
That was a great game.
And maybe about an hour or so into the follow-up, A Crack in Time. Again,
I heard that was a great game.
It's Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah.
I played that pirate one. What was it?
Quest for Booty.
Quest for Booty.
Into the Nexus comes with a download code for Quest for Booty.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
That was a good game.
Which was really neat. Luckily, for players who've kind of fallen out of it like I have, Into the Nexus wastes no time getting us reacquainted with the last of the Lombaxes and his sardonic robotic BFF.
Yeah.
It takes roughly 5 minutes before players will be scrambling around in zero gravity, leaping about in a pair of magnetic boots in a level that takes them through the insides and outsides of a spaceship as it's torn to pieces by laser fire, asteroids, and gravity fluctuations. Insomniac has gone through great lengths to prove deserving of the claim. I think it's on the back of the box for Tools of Destruction. Pixar movies you can actually play.
Yeah.
That's how good-looking they are. There's a refreshing lack of tutorials. The game is the antithesis of Complex. There's a button to use Ratchet's wrench. He is, after all, a mechanic. There's a button to jump and engage the helipack. There's a button to open his tech wheels, select weapons and tools, and the shoulder buttons to aim and shoot. It's really, really simple. There's no pausing to go through menus. It all happens in real time. The controls are sharp as a tack, and it unfolds without having to really... I jumped ahead, and I said something about menus when I shouldn't have.
All right, make it up, man. Yeah. Make it up.
Wing it.
And the weapons. Stirs and girders. A gun that plays a hollow and tinny version of Jingle Bells while it flash freezes enemies into snowmen bodies. The return of Zircon the Destroyer, Mr. Zircon.
I loved Mr. Zircon.
And when you level up Mr. Zircon, level 2, he brings his kid with him, and level 3, his fat wife comes out with a rolling pin. And they've all got variations on the Mr. Zircon.
Does it have the disco gun?
I can't remember if it's got the disco gun or not.
The disco gun was amazing.
The Groovatron.
Groovatron, yeah.
It was a grenade launcher that fired disco balls that made people dance.
Made them do the, what was it, what is it they call it? The, where, you know, they point up into the air.
Oh, and, the John Travolta thing. Yeah, Saturday Night
the Fever. Hustle?
I guess, I don't know.
Do the hustle.
There's one you'd like, Steve. It's actually a grenade launcher called the Nightmare Box. Throws a scary looking Christmas package, and when they go and open it, a big toothless skull comes out and just. Weapons can all be leveled up. Like I leveled up the Omni Blaster, his first gun.
Yeah.
And when you jump to his second level, he pulls out two of them and starts firing them.
Like gangsta.
As well as, splash damage, explosive ammo. They can be altered right down to their fundamentals through steady use and a little tech tree. You can pick up little power-ups called Raritaniums.
Raritaniums.
And, use that to, kind of like Dead Space, you open them, you place them in nodes and...
Yep.
Yeah.
So it is actually developed by Insomniac.
It is actually developed, and that really surprised me. I was half expecting it to be developed by one of the guys who did, like, Secret Agent Clank on the PSP.
Yeah, because I thought Insomniac had kind of cut ties with Sony. I thought they'd kind of...
As did I.
I guess Fuse was more of a tank than everybody realized.
And every item in the game just screams with creativity. So, like you were saying, it seems to me Insomniac, they haven't lost a step since Fuse sadly misfired with gamers earlier this year. I say sadly because Fuse was pretty
awesome.
Fuse
was a bit of fun, yeah. I enjoyed Fuse.
Another big addition to the gameplay comes in all the gravity-based puzzles. Now, it's not like Super Mario Galaxy where you're running around circular planets. You've got a weapon in it called the Grav Tether that you fire two access points together, kind of like firing a grappling hook, right?
Yep.
And it creates a stream of zero-G that you can jump into and float over somewhere. There's puzzles in the game which require you to set up multiple things so you'll crisscross into one another.
Yeah.
To get somewhere. It's really cool old-school game design. And when you talk about a game where targeting is as simple as holding the L1 button, it becomes second nature. There's even, like, there's 2D platforming sections featuring Clank that play just like, how do you pronounce that game? VVVV? Spikies?
Oh, yeah, I've played that game.
Yeah, the Clank 2D sections play like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's an indie game.
Unfortunately, it's a bit of a fleeting experience. The entire thing takes just 5 hours to reach the end.
Oh, wow.
So it's markedly shorter than, I mean, the Ratchet and Clank games are usually about 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, right? They usually had a little bit of length to them.
Yeah. Now, there's a ton of extra goals to strive for. There's the Golden Bolts. You can do a new game plus where you can try to unlock Omega-class weapons such as the new Rhino. Rip you a new one. But to me, as it stands, Ratchet & Clank Into the Nexus is a fine celebration of a series. It was a huge hit for the PS2 and added some much-needed exclusive muscle for the PS3 during those dark days after its initial launch when everyone was, you know, when the Haterade was being slung around.
Oh, we all love that Haterade.
Yeah. And I just wish it had more time for us to enjoy before vanishing into the wake of a brand new console. However, parents out there, you know, if there's any responsible parents listening to this podcast
who haven't already bought their 8-year-olds Grand Theft Auto 5 and Call of Duty Ghosts, assholes,
you could do a hell of a lot worse than pulling the trigger on Ratchet and Clank's latest adventure.
All right. I'd probably pick it up if it was a little cheaper.
It's the cheapest that new retail games get.
Yeah, if it was a little cheaper, I'd probably pick it up for 5 hours.
By the way, did you buy Vanquish after for $19.99?
No.
You did buy Vanquish, though, didn't you?
Did I?
I don't know. Did you?
Yes, and I finished it. I completely forgot.
President Crazy Bitch.
Yeah, that was that game. There was something in it that I didn't know about.
Smoke break button?
Yes, I didn't use it the whole game.
Oh, the smoke break button is amazing.
Because they didn't realize you could use it as a distraction or something? What was it?
Yeah, when he takes a drag off a cigarette and throws it, and the robots all look at the heat source.
Yeah, I didn't know about that for the whole game.
Then you jump out in slow motion, be all like, whoa!
Yeah. I liked it. It was a good game. I tried to play a game this week, if I may take a moment.
Go for it.
I was going to download the new DLC for Bioshock Infinite, Episode 1. So I went to my local store to buy a PSN card to stock up on some cash so I can download it, you know.
Okay.
And I was told they had to send them back. And I was like, what? And then my friend who worked down there was like, oh, yeah, and let me just look at this list. Oh, yes, we're getting new cards in. And they are a 3-month subscription card and a 1-year subscription card. And I was like, well, what about the monetary units? And she was like, no, we're just getting these subscription cards. I was like, well, huh. I guess I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I don't know what's happening with that, but I know they're going to be doing PayPal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which is great. I don't know if that's a move towards getting rid of those types of cards.
I'm hoping they start accepting Visa debit.
Oh, really?
Right now, PSN doesn't support Visa debit.
Oh, okay. Some of the...
But we have PSN cards at work.
Oh, yeah?
Some of the...
Maybe it's just that store.
DEB-style places usually have download vouchers for stuff like that.
They do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure they'd have one for Burial at Sea.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Bioshock, you know, being Bioshock, pretty huge.
But, I mean, this store is, you know, 3-minute walk from my house, which
is
normally
like a convenience store. Yeah, so it was one of those little gift card malls.
Yeah.
That's what we use. We use one from a company called Blackhawk.
Okay.
And it is a gift card kiosk is what it is, right? But I know we've got $20 and $50 PSN cards there.
I couldn't find them down to
Next
Shoppers
time
either,
store, I'm kicking that thing over. We got a Blackhawk down.
They didn't have any at Shoppers either, actually. I checked down there.
Strange.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, there you go.
No, man, it is the season. It might just be sold out.
It could be, yeah. It could be. So I did try to download that and play it so I'd have a new game to talk about.
They got plenty of them up at Best Buy. Yes, Buy.
Yes, Buy. Best Buy.
Mostly, I'm just still playing Hearthstone, guys.
You might still get an Xbox One at Best Buy, too, apparently.
I'm not buying an X-Phone.
For the good of the team, Ken.
Not even for the greater good, man.
For the good of the band.
You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather get myself a really nice camera at this point than buy an X-Phone.
Spend that mad actor money.
I'm waiting for my bonus from work, actually. My quarterly bonus, and then I will probably take the plunge.
Really?
Yeah.
Even after giving it that really shitty review
then. I know.
But listen.
Yes, it got a shitty review, but eventually 343 Studios are going to release a Halo game.
There are going to be games. Yeah. You know,
when is Destiny coming?
The games will come. Destiny's coming for PS4.
Oh.
And it looks stunning.
I thought it was X-Bone.
No. Titanfall is X-Bone.
Oh,
but now
okay.
Titanfall is online only, so fuck Titanfall.
Ding. Great.
$59.99 for a goddamn online-only game. Or you can get the version with the super statue
for
$200 freaking dollars for an online-only game.
Wait a minute. Didn't you buy Shadowrun when that came out new for $59.99?
It had Shadowrun written on it, John.
Yeah.
I had to support it in the hopes that it would lead to greater things.
And it did.
And Shadowrun, to be fair, you could play offline,
okay.
Whereas Titanfall is entirely an online game.
It did lead to better things. It led to Jordan Wiseman playing and saying, what the fuck is this?
I believe he was involved in it, actually.
Yeah, involved in that video where they threw balled up paper at the director of the game.
Who's now working with him at Harebrained on Shadowrun Returns, which is godly. That's something else I had for news that I forgot to put in there.
Kevin.
What's happening with it?
Oh.
Shadowrun Returns, Dragonfall, Berlin, all new campaigns.
Oh, I just deleted it from my iPad.
It's coming out in January, dude.
Why did you
delete it?
Because I had to free up space for a video that I was filming.
No, listen. You didn't notice. We moved on to the news and he didn't say it.
The news. Time for the news.
The news.
Now, listen, Steve.
No, actually, you know what? I actually wasn't going to say it this week.
Except John decided to bring it up.
I wasn't going to. Thanks, I was just going to segue right into it.
Come segue away with me. Yep.
Yeah, so, okay, well, yeah, right off the bat, we'll lead off with that. Shadowrun Returns, Dragonfall, Berlin, all new campaign setting, all new adventure thread, you know.
Great.
Written by the guys at Harebrained. January.
Oh, that's where the Dragon Corporation is, too.
Dunkelzahn.
No, what was it? The Sailor Krupp?
Sailor Krupp. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool. I'll definitely reinstall.
We don't encounter enough dragons when we play Shadowrun.
The last game we played, there was a really cool scene with a dragon at the end of it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because we were talking to the dragon in the Vatican, but that's the only dragon we've ever
encountered. No, the one where the guys were all on the train, and it goes over to Grand Canyon, and the big dragon flies out of the canyon next to the train.
Oh, yeah, that's when I finally got to use my dude's wired reflexes and, like, time slowed down. And it's just, like, vanquishes. All like...
Anyway, news. That was a... Yeah. Here.
All right.
Just pick something.
I will, because there's a... Yeah. I can't do anything. Oh, here we go. Okay, so...
Okay, so...
This is interesting.
Back to you.
Twitch TV...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is brutal.
...has begun banning accounts streaming non-gaming content via their PS4 consoles. One controversial streamer used the Playroom app and Twitch TV... to stream himself and his wife getting drunk before he eventually exposed her breasts and stripped her down for all the PlayStation Nation to see. Thanks a bunch, asshole. Because of you, we can't have nice things.
Are they actually called the PlayStation Nation?
That's what I call them.
They are now.
Yeah.
Heard it here first.
TMNC,
folks.
Bitches. TMNC.
Right. Anyway.
That was pretty savage, actually. That was pretty rotten.
You know it's going to happen.
Especially after you had these other guys who, they started this talk show. Have you heard about this?
No.
A husband and wife couple started, like, a talk show using the Playroom app.
That's cool.
And Andrew Young, or is it Andrew something Young? The guy, the head of, like, third-party relations or whatever.
Right.
He was in all the, like, the videos leading up to PS4 launch.
Uh-huh.
He phoned into the show.
Really?
Because they were raffling off their PS3 because they'd replaced it, of course, with a PS4. And he phoned into the show and had a grand old chat with them. They thought it was, like, the most brilliant idea ever. This gaming-related phone-in show. They posted their number up in the Twitch TV comments. And
it's almost like it becomes public access.
And I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. This is why we have Blast Processing TV. We just have to organize a time and then, like... actually and announce the people that were going to do it.
Maybe shave.
No, fuck that. We don't shave.
I don't shave. Look at my face.
That's a very large gorilla.
That's 3 years worth of facial growth.
Then look at my face. You can't see it for the beard.
You look like Aristotle over there. Get you some hemlock now in a minute. No more talking about Sonic for you.
Is there any Sonic news here?
No.
Some sad news this week.
Oh.
John Carmack has departed id Software for the world of hardware design. He's currently making his home with the crazy folks behind the Oculus Rift, the high-end VR headset that's planning on hitting the wild sometime in 2014.
I held a Rift in my hand this week.
Yeah.
I actually put it on my head and looked through it.
Was it turned on?
No.
Oh.
We needed a mini display port to HDMI adapter to make it work.
I've got a reader of my newspaper column has a dev kit Oculus Rift.
Yeah, one of my friends has one as well.
Yeah. So this guy was willing to let us.
Oh, Christo.
This might be.
You talking about Christo?
I don't know. I got an email. It might be from Christo.
Yeah, Christo wants to bring it over and get on the show with it and stuff, but Jeff has one.
Yeah,
cool.
Because Jeff works for CCP, and they're working on Eve Valkyrie for it.
The makers of Dust 514.
Yeah, and he brought it over the week, and we were going to fire it up, but we didn't have the mini display port to HDMI.
Too bad.
So we couldn't fire it up, unfortunately.
I'm really, really
It was so
about,
light.
Yeah.
It looks so ridiculously heavy.
Yeah.
And then I put it on, and it was like, man, this is actually like really comfortable. Now, you can't wear glasses.
Right.
You cannot wear glasses while you're wearing it, but...
That picture, though, that everyone's had online of John Carmack,
yep.
I never noticed how much he looked like Jeff from Community.
He looks like Winger.
Classic Winger.
I was a little sad by Carmack leaving, though. I was kind of like, you know, it's kind of the end of an era.
Yeah.
Carmack was one of the last of, like, that golden age of game designers, you know, like, where personalities really started to emerge and you started to get, like, really unique creative visions. You know, I mean, and we're talking the guy who made Doom
and
Quake.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is... He's a big dude.
Mm. Yeah, but he's also one of those guys, when you hear him talking, is, like, the dude's totally an engineer at heart.
Well, I mean, he designs rocket engines,
so...
Well, I think it's good he's going to be working with the Oculus Rift guys.
I think if anybody can make it successful, it's him.
Yeah.
One of the big rumors I'm hearing about the Rift that kind of discourages me, though, is the price tag.
Oh, of course.
I've heard that it's, like, up in the 300 to 400 range.
I'm not surprised, actually. Mm.
Apparently, Jeff was telling me his daughter has been playing a roller coaster simulator on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one day a week, she had it on for about 4 hours, going up and down on roller coasters.
Wow. That's cool.
So she's into it.
Right on.
Yeah. Anyway, we've already been talking about it, so we might as well talk some more. Another next-gen launch is mired by overblown tales of defective hardware.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Some disk drive
The Xbox
issues.
One has seen reports of more varied issues, including OS crashes, update failures, and faulty Blu-ray drives that emit a sound not unlike the trumpets of Jericho when you try to put a disk in.
Oh, man. I want to get one of those.
No word. Walls
come tumbling down.
No word, unfortunately, on whether or not this is the end result of disgruntled Foxconn interns sabotaging the production line or not.
Oh, man, as soon as you turn on your Xbox, we take Jerusalem!
It's too early to determine the magnitude of those affected. But Microsoft is looking after them, they claim, and the ratio looks to be pretty similar, read, well within acceptable limits, to what happened with the PS4 last week.
Okay.
So less than 1% is the, rough estimate. I mean, it's only been 2 days, so there's no real way to tell. Either way, based on personal experience, I know of one person who's had a defective PS4, and I know of one person who's had a defective Xbox One.
Wow.
So, you know, the ratio is pretty damn good.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the news sites want things to go bad.
Oh, well, I mean, headlines are shocking all, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Let's continue on that vein.
That's outside my house. Apparently it's snowing.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Isn't that great?
Wah, wah, wah.
Boom.
Let's continue to talk about the X-Bone.
Okay.
Microsoft has officially sold over 1 million X-Bone consoles in a mere 24 hours.
Woo! 1 million consoles! 1 million consoles, Clarence!
Now, let's put that into perspective. The Xbox One, or X-Bone, has been launched in several territories simultaneously, while the PS4's million sold exclusively in North America. That's still a knock on Microsoft. 1 million consoles in the wild is still a million consoles.
Whose part is what? Bias?
So take from that what you will.
Kudos. It's another record breaking console launch.
It is, yeah.
I mean, I know Sony. Now next week you've got the UK launch coming.
Yeah.
You're going to see that gap widen again.
Yeah.
But
it is still really important to me because it proves that people are still playing games on consoles and not this fucking abomination I'm holding in my hand.
Or PC.
Yeah. iOS games are still cool, man. I don't care what you say.
iOS games are a different market. PC it's games, on the other hand,
Yeah. Well, Minecraft.
Can I, you know, I'm just going to continue with the Xbox One news.
Okay.
Between Killer Instinct, Forza 5, am I pronouncing that right? Forza?
Forza.
Forza.
Yeah.
And Rise, Son of Rome. Some fans have begun bickering in their all-too-loud outdoor voices about Microsoft and the use of microtransactions. From what I've seen, it looks a tad excessive.
A little.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, a little.
To tell you the truth, back in 2006 when that horse armor showed up online, we should have marched down, pulled Todd Howard out of his office, and beat him to death and burned him in effigy.
No.
Actually, no, then we wouldn't have got Skyrim.
Or Fallout 3.
Who can I blame for microtransactions?
EA? Yeah.
Really?
EA.
We should have gone down and dragged Isaac Clarke out of his spaceship.
Dead Space 3. But no, it's apparently, like, this is the big thing. Microsoft are saying that every one of their games is going to have, you know, these iPhone, iPod-style microtransactions.
Can we blame Apple for this?
We could totally blame Apple
Apple.
I love blaming Apple for shit, because Apple are a bunch of cunts.
Ding.
Croc.
I'm going to give that a ding, because I don't like that one.
That's a dirty word, man.
It's very dirty.
I don't use that word lightly either. Yeah. When I use that word, I mean it.
I'm an Apple fanboy, but I'll blame them for it.
That's a horrendous word to describe something beautiful.
All right. So, microtransactions are bad.
I saw myself personally the microtransactions in Rise.
Yeah.
And they were ridiculous.
Oh, were they?
Completely ridiculous.
It's like back in the day when Hulk Hogan would pop up on screen and tell you to insert another quarter to regain health, brother.
It's more kind of like if you want better armor and stuff like this, you can grind in the game and earn it, like, very, 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 very slowly.
Right.
Or you can use your own real monies and buy it through the Rise store, you know?
That's terrible.
It is pretty awful. It is.
My kid ever asked me to buy him a microtransaction?
You're going to tell him to start grinding.
No.
You know, he's going to start grinding wheat on the wheel of pain in the backyard.
I'm going to go back to, like, last gen for a little while. Let's get retro.
Last gen.
Let's get retro.
Yeah.
Want to get retro?
Kevin, say it. Say it.
Let's get retro. What am I supposed to say?
What do we fire when it's time to get retro?
Oh, we're going to fire the retro rockets.
Persona 5. Has been announced for PlayStation 3.
It has been.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Me neither.
I know Persona 4 was okay.
High school students are going to beat up monsters.
And they're going to kill themselves to gain superpowers.
And there's a 3DS thing coming out too, right?
Yeah, there's
no, that was only Persona 3.
Oh, okay, all right. Sorry.
Persona 4, they headbutted the television.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no, I think it was just they turned to some weird UHF.
There's a new Persona 4 Part 2 thing coming or something.
You guys got to play that fighting game with me because it's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, okay.
You got to play Minecraft with me, you motherfucker.
Ding!
Sorry, I'm allowed one.
Yeah.
That's your third.
Everybody gets one. But yeah, I don't really entirely understand Persona. I remember buying Persona 3 on PS2.
Right.
That's because the box was large, pretty.
The box was large and pretty, and everybody was raving about it. So I said, okay, fine, I'll give it a shot. I might have played 5 minutes of it.
Really?
Kind of said, yeah, okay, yeah.
I rather enjoyed Persona 2 for the PS1.
I don't remember it.
And didn't a long-time listener, haven't seen him in 6 years, Mr. Green was a big fan of Nocturne, was he not?
I believe so, yeah, but he liked that because it had Dante from Devil May Cry in it.
Oh.
I don't really know anything about Persona, but according to how many different Persona games were announced this weekend, you Persona fans have really got something to look forward to.
It's pretty popular. It's Atlas's foothold in the West.
Demon Souls is Atlas's foothold.
No, it's because of that Persona money. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you got that new pretty version of Akira because of Dragon Ball Z. It's because of Persona that we got something nice.
Now I need to go take a shower. Thanks, John.
All right. So, do you hear something in the distance coming towards us? Careful. Duck, duck. It's Roomerang time!
Waltzing Matilda! Waltzing Matilda!
Oh my god. Oh.
John just goes too far every week. I'm going to quit this show pretty soon.
It's okay, Gus, Gus. I've got no less than five friends who live in the land down under. So
all right.
I was about to say something very horrible just then, and I stopped myself.
All right, let me go on with the news. This is a Roomerang. So the Roomerang is this. a website called Survivor2199 has popped up online.
Have you seen this yet?
I have. Complete with gibberish anagrams and a countdown clock. Also, Morse code that continuously beats website.
I forgot about the Morse code.
Now, what's intriguing is the font being used and the symbol that appears at the base of the page, a symbol that will be familiar to fans of Bethesda Interplay's Fallout series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, beyond that, Bethesda has just registered a trademark in Europe for a game called Fallout 4.
Mm.
War.
Mm.
War never changes.
No, he's got to say four.
Four never changes.
That's
the Romans waged war.
That's really exciting to me. What I really want to do, if anybody out there, any of our blasphemers know Morse code, probably somebody's already decoded it. I'm like,
oh, 9 chances out of 10, there's a wiki page already.
Yeah, probably. I really want to know what it says. It probably just says, help me, I'm a game designer, and they're making me make this website.
This page is a hoax.
You've been punked.
I was thinking originally the countdown was dangerously close to VGA time. But I think the countdown actually ends like 3 days after the VGAs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't you get the memo? It's VGX now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, because it's the 10th. We're doing it here this year, by the way.
Are we?
Video.
Yeah.
We're going to stream it on the PS4?
Yeah, we're going to stream it up on our 100-inch screen. We're going to sit down and watch a whole shitload of game reveals.
Actually, no, wait, because it's because of you we're normally late for. I was going to say, you tell Brian to stream himself over here more than 5 minutes before with pizza.
No, Brian's all set, man. Brian's good to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So I was on the interwebs earlier, and there was scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt on the interwebs? Oh, my God.
Butts were scuttling on the floor.
Sounds so terrible.
There were shenanigans.
Scuttlebutt.
No, man, it's like that thing Jacob used to do when he wasn't crawling. Em used to do the same thing.
Yeah, scuttlebutting.
Scooching.
Looks like they're trying to wipe shit off their ass in the carpet.
Yeah. That's scuttlebutt.
Okay.
So, there's scuttlebutt on the interwebs, stating that Sony will be unleashing a PS4 PS Vita bundle in time for Christmas. Why they couldn't have done that for launch, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, that kind of rots me a little bit, to be honest.
How much is that going to be, I wonder?
I'd say probably $4.99.
Really? With a Vita?
Yeah. That's my hunch.
Shit, son, why am I trying to get a PS4 now when I can get a Vita and a PS4 for $100 more?
Exactly.
Wow.
Wow.
I'd probably end up doing that.
There's talk that it'll be out in December. There's been pictures apparently shown of the box and stuff. So,
really?
Yeah.
There's one piece of news left, and I'm going to do it. I'm not passing the iPod back.
Okay.
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 Sideshow Collectibles has announced...
I was saving that for Steve.
Okay. All right. Look at his eyes. It's okay, my baby.
Sideshow Collectibles has announced a 12-inch premium. Premium.
12-inch premium.
12-inch premium.
Great, great.
Nathan Drake action figure.
Ooh.
That's what me and Beth call it.
That looks absolutely stunning.
Oh, yeah?
It looks fan-fucking-tastic.
Which Drake is it?
The new Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
He's got the scarf. He's got the AK all decked out for desert wear, you know?
All right.
Well, Uncharted 3 Drake is pretty much just dirtier Drake with a scarf.
This 12-inch molded plastic and fabric pile of pure unbridled charisma will retail for a gobsmacking $189.99.
What the hell?
When you see the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up right now.
When you see the picture, you will understand.
Your reaction should have been, what the hell, Kevin? Your reaction should have been, crap, 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 crap.
Oh, crap, crap, crap. But it looks absolutely phenomenal. It will not be out this year.
Right.
Expect it in time for Christmas season 2014.
Just in time for a new Uncharted game.
Start saving up now. Is that it there? Is that the picture I'm looking at?
Yep, that's him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
I think. Here, let me see. Let me double check. It may not be. No, that's a statue.
That's a statue.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we
statue is $349, by the way.
Yeah.
Whenever we we complained about the shooting in Uncharted 3. I just think back to Chapter 2 and I'd start to cry again.
There was a lot of great stuff in Uncharted 3. The problem I have with
every time
Uncharted
the characters
3,
opened their mouths, it was beautiful.
That's a different one. That's a... Holy crap, that is gorgeous, too.
That's also by them.
That's a Square Enix one. That's one of the PlayArts ones, yeah.
Looks nice.
But that looks really nice, too.
All right, I'm still looking for the actual one.
I'll get you a link to it now.
All right.
So while these two guys are playing with their slates, I'll...
Why didn't I just do an image search?
I have nothing else to say.
You have nothing else
just
to say?
Just wing it, man. This is your chance. This is your moment. You're on your own. You've always wanted to be.
Turn around.
Stop that.
I don't want to die listening to this song.
That looks very similar to the one I was just looking at.
But look at, like, the poseability. Like...
Yes, and it's $189, Steve.
It's also gorgeous.
You know what I could get for $189? Not an action figure.
It's also a vessel that contains the soul of Nolan North.
Oh, does it? Yeah. Is Nolan North's blood involved in the process of making this at all?
That's how he
kind of like Kiss when they made those Marvel comics back in the day.
It could be.
Okay.
So that's it for the news. I think we're done.
I think we are done.
Are we done for the news?
We are. We're done.
Did you play any... No, wait. You reviewed Xbox One.
I do have another one, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah?
Move along.
Y'all prepared for this?
Move along.
I picked up Knack.
I bought an Xbox One!
No, I bought Knack for the PlayStation 4.
Isn't that what the Smurfs used to say when they turned purple?
No, that was Ganache. No, this was Knack.
None of our listeners are going to know
what. What a messed up game.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's kind of cool.
Well, I want to try it out.
It's very much old school platformer.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Very, very much old school platformer. Fixed camera. You know, you're beating up goblins and robots and stuff.
We missed a rumoring in the news I forgot to add.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Go back?
Yeah, the rumor in the news that Sony may have reacquired the rights to Crash Bandicoot.
Yes, there was that one, and that
really,
was, yeah, it has disappeared entirely off Activision's website.
It must be noted Activision haven't done anything with Crash since 2008.
Well, they never did do anything with Crash ever since the buyout. They all they took from the Sierra buyout was prototype for whatever godforsaken reason, Crash and Spyro.
Okay.
Crash, they never did bring back. They brought Spyro back, obviously, in Skylanders, but...
Yeah.
Hey, plumber boy.
You tell me you wouldn't have bought your daughter a Crash Bandicoot.
Did you see the PlayStation 4, the box art that showed up on, I think it was on the French Amazon site?
Oh, is this the thing with the gold diamond, the street sign?
He was drawn in, like, a really cartoony, like, super cartoony style, almost like a Powerpuff Girls or, you know, like... Kennedy Tartakovsky or whatever, like that art style.
That retro 50s kind of.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
Yeah.
It looked really, really cool.
No, I saw a picture that it apparently was a screen capture from a PS4 commercial.
Okay.
And it's a street sign that's a golden diamond, like the old Sony logos come up at the beginning of.
Yeah.
And they had an arrow pointing up to it, and then down in a red circle, down there they had a silhouette of Crash Bandicoot.
Cool. Okay.
So, Knack is good.
Knack is I got one other rumorang to throw out there. I'm sorry.
My God.
This is a doozy.
The podcast that never ends.
Fuck Knack.
Oh, God. Oh.
This is a big one.
Right near.
This is a really big one.
Bring it.
And
Sega Master System.
I kind of hope it doesn't come to pass.
Oh, God.
I really hope. Actually, I desperately hope it doesn't come to pass.
What is it?
The former CEO of Nokia. Who were bought out by Microsoft last year. I mean, just about Ballyhoo, you know.
Engage!
I don't remember his name for the life of me. Steve something or another, I think. Is on tap to become the next CEO of Microsoft. That in and of itself is not a big deal.
Right.
He has made very public his distaste for the Xbox division. For the Microsoft Entertainment division. And he has said... His first act as CEO will be to cut the Xbox division.
So, what does that mean?
It means they'll be sold off.
Bought out by Sony.
I can't see it happening.
No.
Number one, the amount of money it would take is staggering. Like, you're looking at billions.
Yeah.
No.
Donald Trump lotto.
Do you know who might have the money, though?
Who?
NEC. You are looking at the TurboGrafx 526, bitches.
The TurboGrafx Xbox.
Now, wouldn't that shake things up, man, if the division was cut?
But who could buy them? Like, I mean, the only two real candidates out there I could see, like, doing it. Yeah, it would be. That was one of the ones I was thinking of. Would be Apple.
Yeah.
Or Activision. They're the only two I could see, like, within the industry. But now I could see someone coming in and scooping them up, like maybe another, you know, electronics company or something.
Definitely, yeah.
But it's... The implications could be pretty staggering if this were to happen, you know, especially right after a new console launch.
Yeah.
And right after a successful new console launch. I mean, like, who knows how things are going to pan out after.
I mean, why would he cut something that's successful, right?
How many millions have they put into R&D on this thing?
We don't, but it's been a lot.
Yeah.
But see, the flip side to that coin is this division has never been particularly profitable for Microsoft. They've been profitable, like... Ever since about midway through, I think it was around 2007 or 2008 is when the Xbox 360 became profitable for Microsoft. Since then, they've been fine. But before that, all that division has ever done is hemorrhage money.
Right.
And on top of that, even after they started turning a profit, Microsoft's real profit comes from software development. It comes from Windows. It comes from Office. You know, all of that stuff. This is where they make their cash. And I think since... Windows 8 and Office 365 and all of that fiasco, Microsoft just doesn't have the resources anymore to keep it afloat.
Mm-hmm.
I think, they can't afford for this system to be a failure.
Yeah.
They really can't, right? And Sony's momentum right now is ridiculous. So barring something like software just not being there for the system, I think, you know, 6 months' time from now when the dust clears after Christmas, you're going to see a very different picture than what we're seeing right now, this neck-and-neck race.
Yeah.
It's not going to be this neck-and-neck race anymore.
Yeah.
And if this guy, Steve... something Dutch or whatever comes in and takes over and cuts off Xbox, man, like,
it's interesting, man.
I don't want to see it happen for the simple fact that I worry about what could happen.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that coin, if somebody cool snapped it up.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I want to see it happen in the same way that when I was a kid, I kind of liked it when other kids in class got in trouble so I could see what was going to happen.
How whenever you drive past a car accident, you got to look.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I was going to make the comment that would make Steve dive across the table and strangle me. When he said someone cool, I said, cool rhymes with Newell.
No, that would be absolutely terrible. But you know what? I could see it happen, too.
Yeah.
I could really see it happen, and that would be brutal. That would absolutely suck. I would not be happy about that. We'll charge an extra $300 and put Steam on it.
Hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that was the other big rumoring. That popped up on a few sites, and when I first read it, I thought, what a load of horseshit. But then it started popping up a few more places, and I don't know, man. I guess it... Depends on, again, like the next 3 months, I think, is what's going to be key.
Yep.
If that system stays neck and neck with Sony for the next 3 months and their stock rises and recovers and whatever else, I don't think it's going to be an issue because the shareholder's not going to let them do it anyway.
Yeah.
But if Sony widens the gap and the Xbox kind of flounders, it could go either way.
Hmm. No horseshit, Wang.
Seems
no
like
horseshit, Jack.
Seems like this video game and these video games was just a fad after all.
Anyway, Knack.
Right.
Knack, we were talking about Knack.
Yeah, so apparently it's great.
Oh, I forgot.
Good.
It is pretty good. It's not amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible either.
Fun, you know? Platformer.
It's a lot of fun. It's old school. I kept thinking Astro Boy. While I was playing.
Oh, I dig
that.
The
whole, like, the world that it's set in and, like, the weird stuff. Like, they just have sun crystals lying around that you can beat up for power and stuff. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was just so bizarre. It gave me a total Astro Boy vibe.
Okay.
And it's, like, humans with futuristic outfits and machine guns and sunglasses and stuff fighting goblins who look like something out of Warhammer.
Cool.
Right down to goblin tanks.
Oh, really?
You know, like, it was different. It was interesting. I'm intrigued, and I really like the gameplay. I got to say, I think the gameplay is really good. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You got me sold, man. I'm into that.
And it looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, a showpiece for the PlayStation 4 or anything, but, you know, it's a great-looking little game. Cool. I'm pretty pleased with it.
All right. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. That's all I got.
And that's all I got.
I got one other thing.
Oh, wow.
Ambush topic! Ambush!
Oh, my God. This podcast is not going to end. I got to use the washroom. Anyway, what's this ambush topic?
I got to go piddle.
The next generation is upon us.
It is the generation now.
Yeah, with the Wii U is that out for a year. We've got our PlayStation 4. We've got our Xbox One.
Some of us do. Some of us don't.
Okay, I'm speaking figuratively.
Okay. Yeah.
The family has a PS4.
The family.
The family has the blast processing family.
When's it my turn to take her home?
Looks like you boys got more than you bargained for.
Thinking back to the last generation. You know?
Oh, so many years ago.
Yeah, all those years ago.
Yep.
So much, so long ago, back all over yonder. Back in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Back before we had to leave because of the potato famine.
Sicily, 1942. I was eating, anyway.
I once knew a girl on Gordon Street.
Simple question.
Okay.
How do you think the last generation stacks up to the generations previous? You know? What do you think of the last generation in relation to, say, like the NES, Genesis, and, you know, Super NES, Genesis, PlayStation 1, N64, PS2, Xbox? You know, how was the last generation? How does it compare?
Gaming grew up. It was in its 20s before that, and I think it was in its 30s, last generation.
Now this generation is going to get into its 40s and be creepy and start going back to old gimmicks. And
no, I think
it's going to go through its midlife crisis and go out and buy a Corvette.
Yeah, maybe. No, that's how I feel
about
it.
Start listening to Steppenwolf really, really loud.
Whitesnake.
Here I go again on my own. Still a light.
Because with the last generation as well, we saw not just a change in, well, everything, but also movie formats.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a huge, huge paradigm shift. That's a 10-cent word. You can take it home.
And what did I tell you guys back then when everyone was trying to decide between the Blu-ray and the HDTV?
Yeah.
Wait for the porn industry. The titties will show you the way.
I did not know
that. I want boobs to show me the way.
There's been far too much reference to 80s rock in this episode.
There has been.
Why did I say boobs when I should have said poon?
You said it anyway. It's there now. I'm doing posts on this episode, by the way.
It's out in the wild. So, yeah, and...
That was another roomerang we missed.
What?
Well, not a roomerang, a bit of news.
What?
Oh my God.
We're talking about VGX.
Yeah?
We're gonna get the world premiere trailer of Wild Hunt. Son of a witch.
Oh, shit.
Dylan!
You son of a witch.
That's right, Witcher 3, right?
Yeah. We've already seen trailers for Witcher 3, though.
No, but this is going to be a full trailer.
We've already seen gameplay of Witcher 3.
This is going to be a full trailer.
Okay.
It's not news. So, talking about...
They're making a Cyberpunk last gen. Game, you know.
They are.
Oh, well, great. Okay, last gen. Ambushed. We're on an ambush topic here. John, stay on target.
It didn't go in.
Just impacted it on the surface.
Yeah, continue. You were talking. You had a thought. We were talking about HD DVDs and Blu-rays.
What's kind of funny about the whole paradigm shift for, like, media formats for movies, yep. We're kind of seeing one of those again, you know.
Yeah.
It's a much quieter shift.
Yeah.
But it saddens me to say it. I hate to say it because I'm such a fan of physical media.
Mm-hmm.
High-def video formats are dying as well.
Yeah.
Blu-ray is dying. And we've gone pretty much, you know, the realm of download, the realm of digital delivery.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening in the games anytime soon. Which is good. I'm very happy about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's great that the option is there.
Yeah.
But I just don't see that trip to the game store disappearing anytime soon.
Right.
But I kind of agree with you in one respect that, like, gaming did grow up. Gaming did go mainstream. And I think we really have the Wii to thank for that.
Yeah.
Like the Wii kind of raised the
awareness. Oh, yeah.
It raised awareness, sure. You know.
I didn't even think of the Wii when I thought of last gen.
No, most people wouldn't because the Wii technically wasn't a last gen system.
Yeah,
it was a gen before that system.
Yeah.
It was two GameCubes duct taped together with a motion sensor. But, you know, it was a maturing of, like, gaming as a pop culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was also a maturing of game design as well.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, hardware finally caught up to imagination. And I think the only thing really limiting artists, like, I mean, you still had that technological barrier, but I think creativity was really the only thing that limited, more so than...
Well, when you've got games that can come out and look pretty much spot on, like Joe Madureira's artwork.
Yeah, or, right? I mean, look at Grand Theft Auto V.
Or who did the art design? Was it McFarlane who did the art design for Amalur?
Amalur, yeah.
Yeah, or when you got something that comes out like Grand Theft Auto V, where the characters look exactly like the artwork on the cover of the game.
Yeah, right? Or like Uncharted 3 or Uncharted 2. I mean, beautiful, beautiful games. Last of Us, staggeringly gorgeous. And, you know, they were really only limited by imagination and what you could do, you know, with the hardware. And I honestly think that it was probably my favorite generation up to now.
Yeah.
I think we got more, you know, even from the early days, we got more unique new ideas. Like even like 2000, as far back as 2007 with games like Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed. You know, Assassin's Creed was nothing. There was nothing like Assassin's Creed before that game came out. Nothing. You know, nothing compared to it. It was new ideas. It was unique ideas. It wasn't necessarily flawlessly executed, but it was new ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it was stuff that we hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that generation, like the PS3, Xbox 360 generation, saw more of that than any previous generation. You know, I love my PS2. I love my original Xbox. I think they're great machines. And I think game design certainly evolved at that point, too. But there was that technological barrier.
Yeah.
There was that real limit to what developers could do because of the technology. Like, it just wasn't there yet. Whereas I think the 360 PS3 realized it.
Yeah.
You know, like stuff like Fallout 3, for God's sake.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
like
just staggeringly huge games, huge experiences, you know. And I honestly think that, like, when I think back on that generation, I can't think of another generation where I've had as many games as I've enjoyed so much.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that we could see some old ideas come back and be applied in ways that the way we saw them when we were kids. I'm going to be honest with you guys. When I played Ghouls and Ghosts when I was a kid, what I was seeing in my head was Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
Dark Souls, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as I was ecstatic, you know, in 2010 that something like Castlevania that we thought was left way behind in the 16-bit era, that was never going to be anything more than a portable throwaway again, can have as successful and as big of a relaunch as they had with Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, a lot of really neat merging of game genres.
Yeah.
You know, you got like something like Borderlands taking a first-person shooter and turning it into an RPG.
And back to Fallout, you know, you had Fallout 3 doing the opposite. You know, it was an RPG with first-person shooter elements. Now, you could still play it like a pure RPG, but it had those first-person shooter elements.
Well, they took Fallout and said, you know what? That's a really cool setting.
Yeah.
Now, let's let them walk around in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was. I think it's been a fantastic generation. And I know everybody says, oh, those systems still got a lot of life left in them and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But in all honesty, I think the end is going to hit a lot earlier than people think.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I think you're going to see a lot of multi-platform stuff like Destiny and Titanfall. But in all honesty, where are people going to be playing Destiny?
Yeah.
They're not going to be playing that on Xbox 360 or PS3. They're going to be playing that on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
You know, Titanfall is an Xbox One game.
Yeah, any games that come out right now that are multi-platform, I'm going to wait and buy them on PS4. I'm not going to buy them now.
It's like I used an analogy before, you know, with Battlefield 4 and Ghosts, that it was like when I first bought my PS3, and I kind of resisted Blu-ray at first. And then as soon as I got it, like as soon as I picked up my first Blu-ray and saw the difference, I had to go out and buy the HD DVD add-on for the Xbox 360 as well.
Yeah.
And then I had to start collecting movies for both formats because why in God's name would I sit down and watch a shitty upscale DVD when I had a high-def version that could be watched, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I had to have a HD DVD add-on because I knew Transformers was only coming to HD DVD, and if I was going to watch that movie, it had to be in high definition.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing, right? And it's going to be the same principle again, you know? Like, why in God's name would I play Destiny on a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360 when I could play it on a PS4?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Yeah.
You know? But I really think the end is going to hit faster.
Because you're a hipster. Yeah.
Oh, I am.
You do buy records, Steve.
I do buy vinyl, yeah.
My laptop is resting on a box full of them.
Stolen from my parents' place.
I buy records now,
too. There's a lot of hairy hibs in that box.
There is a lot of hairy hibs in that box. There's Figgy Duff in there, too. But, yeah, I I think the last generation has been a phenomenal generation. And I think you're going to see a lot more technical prowess this time around. Like, you're going to see pretties,
yep.
lots of shinies. And, I mean, if Battlefield 4 and Ghosts are any indication, it's going to be shiny.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be very, very pretty. But I don't think you're going to see the same jumps in game design. I don't think you're going to see that emergent gameplay. Like,
I'm also worried that we're not going to see the same risks taken after seeing what happened to Studio...
38 Studios
and THQ and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to see the guys going as willy-nilly with money as they
They're going to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I really don't think you're going to see that same emergent gameplay, that same, like, give the player the tools they need to kind of create their own experiences when they're playing.
Right.
You're not going to see that as much as you did the previous generation, I don't think.
Right. Except when Minecraft comes out on PS4.
We gotta put a sports jacket on over your t-shirt. Give the player the content to build their own experience.
So I guess that's it.
That's it. That's a great note to end on there, yeah. John.
Mm. We at Blast Processing would like to thank you for experiencing our content.
And we were content to deliver you this experience.
You can listen to us on Podbean, www.blast-processing.com. We're on the Facebook, www.facebook.com/bprocessing. Follow us on Twitter, @bprocessing.
We got tweets for your ass.
We are going to have Twitch TV up eventually, @blastprocessingTV.
And we won't get naked.
We will not strip down our wives or get naked ourselves.
I don't have a wife.
Sorry.
We will accept phone calls, though, from people in the game studio.
We may very well likely publish a phone
number. I know Tim Schafer's still ducking me.
We'll probably stream something cool. You know, who knows? There's not really anything.
Or we'll just stream Nick.
Yeah. We're still working out the details, but we're thinking maybe, you know, like, we'll do a spotlight once a week and play a game for an hour and have people ask questions or phone in or something. We'll figure it all out.
What's the new podcast collective we're a part of?
Oh, shit. The Podglomerate. We Noofs have banded together, Live in Fear. There's about 10 of us, I think, now.
What do the rest of you know about life beyond the wall?
Winter's coming. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
We are also on, of course, our father's site. We can't forget to mention DVDverdict.com, DVDverdictPresents.com.
Hail Staley.
Sieg Heil. iTunes, look for Blast Processing. I'm working on trying to find a site with a whole crap load of server storage, like, say, 4 to 8 gigs of server.
I am.
I've got a complete Blast Processing archive now.
That is wonderful. Even the early episodes before I joined?
All 200 and some odd episodes.
Yeah. Sweet.
So, you know, we're working on that. I'm trying to find a home. I'm trying to put something snazzy together for that one because, hey, we're coming up on, would you believe this? We're actually coming up on our fifth anniversary
of
Blast Processing.
When you guys started originally?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's freaking scary, man.
How many years have I been with you? Two?
Two, I think, yeah.
We are the OG video game podcast.
We started
the OG VG podcast.
We started in 2009.
Okay.
So.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. April of 2009.
Wow. I remember listening to you guys all the time. When I was, like, drawing, because I like listening to podcasts
you
and I draw.
You poor bastard.
And I remember when you gave me that...
I remember it strangling and stifling my creativity.
No, I remember getting a comment from Kevin about the blows up the moon.
Oh, yeah, that was a great... That was one of my favorite moments.
He's like, Joe walked by, and he started to laugh.
He did, yeah. He did. It was very funny, man. I laughed out loud.
And anytime I can put a smile on either the Woolridge gang's face, it's...
Because we're just so dour.
Miserable sons of bitches.
Yeah, man. Well,
I mean, you guys were raised in Shea Heights. Shea Heights and the Ghouls? I mean,
and Kilbride, too. They hit the trifecta of ghetto locations.
I bet you had a goat in your front yard.
No, there were no
An
goats.
Old car.
No old car either.
No car. stray dog.
Was there a producer from The Bride? Your last name must be Gooby.
Good God.
Ran into Bruce last week. Good seeing him.
Anyway, we've gone far enough.
We have.
Tune in next week when you'll hear somebody say something.
And you wanna go, Kevin?
If you've been listening to this,
you are the Resistance.